Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Brother Joshua Herrera. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join him now as he begins his message.
You know, Brother Pastor P is out with the family, and one of the greatest things and greatest pleasures we can have is spending time with family. I know most of us probably this year, we've lost family. We lost the mom, we lost the dad, a grandpa, a grandparent, and you know, the seasons can be a little draggy sometimes. I know I lost an uncle just a couple days ago too. And, you know, you think about the times that you spent with them, the things that you wish you could have said to your loved one. And I can see that, you know, when these situations come, this is where God tests you the most. God is going to use situations in your life to push you forward, not hold you back. God wants you to keep increasing in him, to continue growing in him. God has put you in a position right now that probably you do not want to handle, maybe. You're in a situation where you see yourself that you have no money. You're probably in a situation that you feel like, I just can't go any more further because I've sunk the hole so deep that I can't get out anymore. But I'm telling you today that God's promises begs to differ that. There's a change that happens. When you hold on fast to the promises of God, know for sure that everything that you're going through is going to have an end result. Whether being still in the negative side or in the positive side, remember this, that God is going to use any situation in your life to push you forward, to make you grow. So if you feel, and you're probably mad at God right now because in the situation that you're in right now, you're disliking it because why, God, if I am a child of a kingdom that's so highly up there, why am I in a situation right now where I feel I can't go any more further? I feel like I'm sinking. I can't continue on. There's always something happening in my life. Why is that, God? Well, let me tell you right now. It's not about you. He's going to use you as a tool so his glory can be shown to everybody else. That's the greatness of God. You see a situation that is probably difficult, but it's all for the best and the best thing for him and to glorify his name. In today's message, I want to talk about take up your cross and follow me. I was saying along this morning that we all have a cross, and I hope you do have a cross. And this word says in John, we pick up our cross daily. We all have issues, but we pick it up. We're not going to leave it here at church, right, and continue on with the rest of the week. No. This Christian life that when if you're so-called Christian, then let's live the Christian life. Remember a while back ago, I spoke, and those who came to Bible Wednesday, I spoke about that there's attachments, there's blessings upon God in your life. But also with those attachments came suffering, opposition, came different things that came along because, as we know, Jesus Christ suffered as well. He had the good and he had the ugly. So in the image of God, in the same likeness of Jesus Christ, we will suffer along the way too because he told us this was going to happen. But it does not mean that I'm going to wither away, that I'm going to grow weak just because I'm in a situation I cannot handle at the very moment. I want to go further with this right now. But before that, I want to pray and ask God for the guidance. I know we were praying this morning, but I want to continue praying that God works in your life today with this message. Amen? Amen, Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come to you, Lord. We ask, Father, that the situations that hold us back, that they are for our personal growth, God. That you help us see and understand that everything happens for a reason, Father. Everything happens for a purpose because you love us, Father. And if it's a hard love, Father, I accept it, Jesus. I accept everything that you gave on us on Mount Calvary and even more, Father. Because I know that at the end of the line, Father, there will be endless joy, Father. Everything is just a moment, Father, but you are eternal. And let that be today, Father, our prayer, that we understand that this world that we live in is just a moment, God. And you are forever, God. So thank you, Jesus. Use me, Father. Use this congregation today, Father, and they may understand that you love them, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray and we say, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm mostly right now more than appreciative right now that Pastor Fee gave me this opportunity to come up here. It's not a very easy one because with it comes responsibilities, and throughout the whole week I'm asking God, please God, help me from me, because I do not want to fail you. Help me understand that this burden and there's whatever I'm going through right now does not belong to me, God, because you told me so. You told me in your word that if anything that I have, any suffering, any yoke that I put to you, I give to you. And then my weight becomes what? It becomes weightless because it doesn't belong to me anymore. So I was moving forward with this word. God gave me this. He says, son, I want you to tell everybody right now at this very now word for everybody in this place and those who are hearing us, is take up your cross and follow me. We've heard this word so many times, but throughout the way, in our Christian walk, we become very mediocre. And I'll let you know why we become mediocre. Because you're giving place to the old man you used to be before. The old man cannot come up unless you let it come up. It might sound rough right now what I'm telling you. But God is telling us, in order for you to move on forward, you need to die to your old self. So it's telling us to die every single day. And if it's telling me to die every single day, that means I have to carry my cross every single day. I want everybody to open up their Bibles in Matthew 16, 24. I'm going to read off the New Living Translation. New Living Translation. It says this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, number one, you must give up your own way. Second, take up your cross. And third, again, he repeats again, and follow me. I was a little baffled when I heard the word, follow me again. And throughout the word, in Matthew, it talks about following. If you want to be with me, you have to follow me. If you want to do this, you have to follow me. Is this a commandment? I was telling you. I was like, no, Father, probably not. I think you're telling me it's because you know what's best for me. You know what's going to happen ahead of time before I even get there. Can you imagine that? A God that can foretell your future already knows what's going to happen. And he's going to guide your steps. Because there's purpose in those steps. Because God wants to guide you wherever you have to go. When we begin to look back where we came from and see how low we were, we can thank God we have a new life in him. I wanted to ask myself how many times, and I ask myself every day, did God have to show up at my doorstep and save me from me? Thank you, Jesus. There will be no count of how many times to this day he has come to my rescue. I want 3 points right now, and I want to follow with these points right now. And I want to break down the word of Matthew, and we're going to continue working with Matthew along with the book of Mark too. But for right now, I want to focus. God's word is broken into 3 parts in Matthew 16, 24.
It says this.
One, we have to give up our own ways. Stop living your truth but following his truth. Second, pick up your cross. That means you need to put to death your own plans and desires. And third, again, it says again, follow him. This means being obedient to his word and continue to the path of righteousness. We continue walking with him. It's not a one-day thing or secondary thing. The Christian walk, I want to include myself in this too. If we call ourselves Christians, it's an everyday thing. We exercise this every single day. As I move forward with this, I came the word across, and I want to go back into give up your own ways. What does that bring to your mind when you think about the word give up your own ways? It talks about self-denial. It is best described this way. Webster puts it this way in the dictionary. The word deny is defined as a restraint or limitation of one's own desires or interest. Biblically speaking, it says this. To deny yourself means to say no to yourself and yes to God. B, if I deny myself, there is the me who's denying myself. I'm going to go over this right now. And there is the me who is being denied. There's two different ones right here. Let me say that one more time. If I deny myself, there is the me who is denying myself. Secondly, and there is the me who is being denied. There is a denying self, and also there is a denied self. How does that work? Well, what's the difference is this. When the old denied self looks at the opposition, shame, suffering, and death Jesus calls for, it says, no, I will not do that. The old self loves human approval so much, honor, comfort, and life more than it loves Jesus. We love ourselves so much, brothers. We get so abundant and bombarded with so many things that we always seek the approval of somebody to pat me in the back. If you think about this, I think about John the Baptist. It's amazing how when Jesus came, he was making place for Jesus, right? Bringing in the king, ushering the king. I remember Jesus coming up to him telling John the Baptist, thank you very much. No, what did he do? What did John Baptist do? He just got his way and went into the what? Into the wilderness. There was no pat. There was no thank you. Because he knew that he was not doing it for himself. Or for the honor. But he knew he was honoring God by listening to the word and being obedient what he had to do. I was amazed when I saw this. I'm like, God, so many Christians, and I include myself sometimes too because I fell into that category sometimes. We're looking for approval either from the pastor or an usher to let us know how good we are. And I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, that we shouldn't pump up our brothers, but we pump them up in the Lord. Amen. We're not pumping you for your self-glory or your self-way of being. No. We want to pump them up because we know what God is doing. If we're going to glory, and Paul says this too. If I'm going to glorify on the things of the Lord, it's because I want to talk about things of the Lord. And Paul describes that. If we're going to do for the glory of him, then that's the glory that belongs only to him only. So, secondly, I want to talk about this again. When the old denied self looks at the opposition, shame, suffering, obviously he's going to know, I don't want to do the will of God. The second one I was saying right now is there's a denying self. And the other one is a denied self. The denying self says, which is in the new person, says to the old world-loving self, you are not in charge any longer. I love Jesus more than human approval, honor, comfort, and life. So I am ready to endure the opposition, shame, suffering, and death. There's more gain in following Jesus. Let me hear that again. There is more gain in following Jesus, even with suffering, than there is in walking away from him. And I've seen countless many times Christians that they don't want to suffer. It's because they become very bland. I don't know what happened now in this age, or if it's my generation, the millennials, that when they hear the word of an inch of suffering, they start running away. They don't want to deal with their problems. Back in the old days, and I say this to those with the classic years, the older age, are the baby boomers and those who are in here. Before, your parents will tell you, you have to deal with it, right? You have to confront the issues. And with God, I remember this. There's no issue or there's no problem bigger than what you're going through. Because at the very end of the situation, you're going to find endless joy. But you have to go through the process as a Christian. And it's going to hurt. I gave a metaphor a while back ago, and I love this metaphor. Hear me out on this. A butterfly has to go through a process. It's amazing how it has to get into a cocoon. But there's a process in that itself. And it's said scientifically that this process hurts the butterfly. There's different steps in when it gets into the cocoon. But the end result of that little worm that became a beautiful butterfly. And that's the way God works and tells us, you're going to suffer for my name's sake. You're going to suffer, but the end result is always better. Because our eternal life is not in this world, but our eternal life is in heaven. That's why we sing to a great God, because he loves us so much. And I can go and I can endure the process because I know what's going to happen. It's sad to say sometimes, brothers and sisters, that we become so weak because of the situation that we see at the very moment. That's a time in a moment to examine yourself how truly you truly love Jesus Christ. Because in the midst, in the time of tribulation, if you go out of the way, there's never, I've seen so many Christians, there was never any roots. There was ever any roots. That's why they grow so weak. Now, I'm not here to blame pastors because they didn't give a good word. No. It's because the individual person, your salvation depends on you solely. Your picking up the cross depends on you. We all have our own personal cross. Are you carrying it? Are you willing to suffer for the name's sake of Jesus Christ? So, I say this again. I am ready to endure opposition. This is the denying self saying this to himself now, the new man. There is more gain in following Jesus, even with suffering, than there is walking away from him. Even with 10,000 earthly benefits, that's the way the new self talks. If you're in that new self, in that new body, your mind needs to be renewed every single day. God says it so many times. It needs to be renewed. I'm renewing your mind every day. Are you letting God renew your mind every day? I want to continue on. Open up your Bibles in Mark 8, 34, 38. I'm going to put it up here for those that don't have their Bibles, or maybe they have an iPhone or an iPad or something. Mark 8, 34 says this. Then calling to the crowd, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. He said, if any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. I like the way there's a parallel in Matthew and then again in Mark. And then we're going to follow along with this in the book of John. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? I want to pause here for a moment. God, stop me in this part right now in verse 37, is anything worth more than your soul? I want to explain more what it means to really deny yourself, because when it means this, worth more than your soul, is talking about yourself. You. Are you denying yourself continually? Are you denying the likes and the desires of what's in you? And number 38 puts it this way: if anyone's ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous, and I'm talking now for the now word in this day right now, and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of the person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So how are you right now in your walk with Christ? I want to shake you up today a little bit. Better yet, I want the Holy Spirit to shake you and tell you, how is your walk with me, son? I like the way it used to be before. When I used to hear preachings, I would hear about the blood of Jesus Christ. Pastor was talking about that last time. We hardly hear preachers talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. We know that the blood of Jesus Christ is the one that saves. It's the one that brings renewing to your soul, your mind, your spirit. It brings all forth the things that you as a Christian, as a human being, couldn't do. That's why Jesus Christ had to come and to save us. I want to talk a little more what means to deny yourself and what's going to happen along the way. I want to talk truth today. Everybody say truth. What does it mean to pick up your personal cross? It means this. One, you're going to have opposition. Remember that. A cross was used to execute criminals who had the state of Rome in opposition to them. Number two, there's going to be shame along the way. I'm just letting you know how it is. This execution was reserved for the worst criminals. So, are you getting the picture now? To the world, you are a criminal. And they're going to see you as a rebel. But thank God Almighty that we're rebels for Jesus Christ. And we can do the will of God. And we can do what pleases us in Jesus Christ. Because we know we have the backing of an Almighty God. Third of my notes, it says this: suffering. This kind of execution was designed to prolong excruciating pain. As Christians, you're going to go through the process. I remind you again, you're going to feel pain. And I know that for sure that throughout this suffering, along the way, something good's going to come out of that. Something's good's going to come out of that. Fourth, there's going to be death for his name's sake. The aim of crucifixion was death. Not torture, followed by release. How many of us, or how many of you have put yourself to death? Book of Romans explains a lot about the old man and the old self. And it discusses about putting death to your plans. See, most Christians, when they receive Jesus Christ, they come to God with all the benefits, but they don't want to hear the ugly stuff. No, God, I want to take the good stuff. I'll leave that. I'll put the bad stuff on the floor because that doesn't belong to me. This is not another good field preaching. No, this is the truth. And many preachers are preaching that you'll get all this, but none of this is going to happen to you. It is going to happen to you. There will be suffering, but you have to put yourself in a situation. You have to put to death of what you're going through right now. My next question that brought me to this, to my next point, is so simple. How much do you love Jesus? I want to confront you with that word because I ask myself that question every single day. How much do I love you, Jesus? How much am I willing to go far for you, Jesus? We come up to an altar sometimes and we ask God for so many things, and we ask God, and at the end, I love you, Jesus. But at the end, I love you, Jesus. It's a simple prayer, but I love you, Jesus. I want something back in return, God. what are you going to do for me? Because when you do more for me, God, I'm going to love you more. No. That shouldn't be the end result. That's not the reason why we came to church today. There's more why we came to church today. We came to worship because we love him. We want to do his will. We want to continue fighting for the right thing, for justice in Jesus Christ. How are we going to fight justice with injustice with the word of God? With living in the truth, with living in the light. How is a Christian going to live in light? By following his truth, by continuing dying to yourself. That's the only way you're going to get to be living in that light, when you deny yourself every single day. When we go back to Mark 8:37, it explains and states, again, I say this again, is anything worth more than your soul? It's talking about the self. Have you completely given up on your dreams to follow him? Have you completely let go of yourself to follow Jesus Christ? Taking up your cross means this. Jesus has become more precious to us than approval, honor, comfort in life. I saw this YouTube video and I was amazed. And this goes out a little bit off the subject here, but I want to throw this in right now. It was this Hindu preaching. I mean, he's a secular Hindu talking about positivism and how life is. But it goes really well what I'm saying today. And he puts it this way. He discussed the one most selfish letter word in the alphabet. Which one you think it is? I. Exactly. And he described it in a way that makes so much sense and so practical. And he goes on and forth that it's amazing that the letter I, we see it in iPods, iPad, I paid for it. You see this word in so many things. And we go back again to yourself. It's the one most dangerous word that most Christians use. And when we come to God, and here comes a parallel to this now. Bring it in right here. When we come to God, we ask, we ask, we ask, but we never give or give to God. And I'm not telling you in human effort, no. What does it mean to really give to God? Well, your obedience is one way and form to give God your best. Because you're listening to what God has to tell you. You're not doing what Josh wants to do, what Albert wants to do. You're doing what God is intended for you and only for you. I was intrigued how the letter I also has too many expectations. I thought I knew what was best for me. I leads a life of expectations for yourself. When we trade the I to follow him, we become dependent of Jesus Christ. God intended for us since the beginning of time to depend on him, not because he was going to give us something or because he wanted control of you, but because he knows what's best for us in the long run. Isn't life more rich and full when we get to put all our cares and cast them to him? When we depend solely in Christ, that's the way it's going to happen. I know my life has more purpose when I align my life with his. Life cannot have purpose when you continue living your life. It has no reason. It has no way of going. You're dead, exactly to the point. But when you're in Christ, you are alive. I want to come back to Mark 8:34. And I paraphrase this way. If any man or woman wants to follow Jesus, to be his disciple, to be, or we call it, to be a Christian, we tend to say, then he must do two things. We must do two things. We must deny ourselves and take up our cross. In Luke 9:23, he clarifies it this way. If you must pick up your cross daily and continue walking with him. I ask myself every day, if I'm really walking in the light daily with him, how I come to a point where I've come to a point where I become so harsh with myself and how I live my personal life. The process of denial is to humbly submit my will to God. It is to go through the life repeating the words that Jesus said the night before he died. When he was praying in the garden, he said this. He said to his Father, "Not my will, but yours be done." Jesus himself put himself in that position. He wasn't asking for his will because he was God himself, Jesus himself. But yet he recognized that it's not my will, Father, it's your will. And how many times have you come to God, "God, it's your will." But then again, you go back home and you continue doing your will again. God is not going to answer those prayers because you continue doing what you want to do. There's so many prayers, so many now words that we have asked God, and we asked God for a rhema word, as I said a little while ago, and they're going unheard because this is the part that happens with us. We continue getting in the way of Christ. You put yourself in the position of Christ, so Christ no longer is in the position anymore to help you out. So how is God going to continue helping me? Well, first you need to put yourself below, and not below as a bad way, but as a humble way of seeing it. The process of denial is humbly submitting to the will of God. It is to go through the life repeating the words that Jesus said the night before he died. "Not my will, but yours be done." And it is what most millions of Christians have prayed for centuries when they repeat what we call the Lord's Prayer. "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," which is Matthew 6:10. I was intrigued that at the very end of the book of Mark 38, "If anyone's ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of the person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." I mean, it sounds like a very vague sentence, a vague word, or it's just so, it's there. But I'm sad to see there's going to be many Christians in the end days who call themselves Christians be left behind. I know most of us have seen the movie Left Behind. Or we've seen the video that Pastor Fee put a while ago where they're all in church. And out of nowhere, there's a few couple seats away and a couple Christians were left behind. Because it's happening now and day in this church. And I want to be raw with you just for a very moment. It might probably be happening here too. And may God have mercy with us. It's happening here in church. See, we need to expose evil. We need to expose everything into the light. And if God's going to work in your life, you need to expose whatever you're going through right now and let God be in your life. If light's going to go through you, you need to open up. It's amazing this way. When you open the windows of a house, you let what come in? You let light go through. When it's closed, it's dark. And that's the way the life of a Christian is sometimes. You have things in you, you have closed the way, and there's no light coming in. So Jesus Christ can be life and light into you. So you need to open those doors. You need to open those windows so the light can shine upon your life and renew you again. That's the only way God's going to work with you when you open up. There's cobwebs. There's old weeds in the floor. When you think about it this way, when Jesus comes out of the tomb and Mary Magdalene sees a man, she gets scared. And he says this thing, and it was so interesting. And God spoke to me in a very peculiar and funny way when he said this. He said, who are you? Are you the gardener? And I was like, wow, God. He gave me something clear. And I said, yes, Jesus is the gardener. He comes into your life, taking all the bad weeds in your life and making fresh green grass all over again in you. But the only way that's going to happen is that you have to let him usher. You have to usher him in to come into you and take away what's ever bad in your life. Stop putting it away. God does not work with mediocre Christians. It doesn't work that way. God needs to speak life into you. God needs to start revealing his secrets to you. But he'll never reveal any to you because we're such of a man of little faith. And if we're going to continue growing in Christ, we need to open up and be transparent with him. Have you been transparent lately with Jesus Christ? Have you opened up on every situation, on every crack that's going on through you, and exposed everything into the light to him? I want to give a little story, a little anecdote. And I don't like to talk about myself a lot because it's never about me. But if I want to use the name of Jesus Christ and glorify his name, let it be so. A while back ago, with an uncle of mine, he can tell you, quote you, scripture, the Quran, scripture, the Bible. And he can go on forever and shed a light about different things in life. And it hit me when I told him, well, uncle, you can go on forever and discuss about all the knowledge in the world and everything that you're going through. And you can be the most moral person or be the most quote-unquote perfect person. But that does not free you from who you are. You might have the knowledge in life. You might have all the secrets. You might have certain things. But the only way God's going to be able to deposit in you new stuff, you need to deposit back out whatever he gave you. Let me say that again. In order for him to deposit in you all the attachments and all the blessings in your life, you need to relinquish, again, that's the word, relinquish who you are as an individual and let God come in and usher in all the new blessings that come along with that. That's the only way God's going to work. That's the only way he's going to work. And going back again, are you ready to die for endless joy? Are you ready to die? Are you ready to pick up your cross? Are you ready to deny whatever you're going through right now at this very moment? Jesus Christ's passionate argument to not throw our lives away in this world, but for his name's sake, we should throw our eternal lives for the sake of an eternal life and not for a few years. Eternal lives for the sake of a few years of a human wealth and glory resounds such in my heart that it's not worth it. But it does sound even better when I continue seeking him and pursuing Jesus Christ because I know I'm going to live an eternal life with him one day. So all the things and all the vanities of this life, they go away. But in Jesus Christ, when you follow him every single day, and he promises you as you pick up the cross every single day, as you get into church, as you go to work, as you go to your next friend, God is going to be with you. I finish with this last verse. John 12:25. It says, whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. You have to hate your life. It sounds kind of funny to say that. God, I have to hate myself? No, he's not saying it. It's humbling yourself before God. He is pleading with us not to be deceived by the lie that owning all the world would do any good in the end. It won't do any good to have all these belongings in you. And I know probably most of us have been working so hard. I've been working so hard, and I'm going to be honest right now, too. Make a better life for my family, to make a better life for my wife, thinking that that's going to bring more happiness and more. It's only going to bring more struggles in life. More money, they say, more problems. But when we give that to God and we trade whatever we're going through, there's life. There's no problems the way we think they're going to be. We'll have certain things along the way, but we know that we can entrust ourselves into God, that he's going to give us what we need. He's going to give you what you need. He is a God that adds, not takes away. I said a little while ago, the enemy came to destroy your life, to take away, but God came to add more to your life. If my God can do that, how is your life right now? How is God working in you? Are you relinquishing who, as an individual, are you relinquishing yourself from this world? Have you totally died to yourself? I know God has a plan, a purpose for every single person in here today. And if your life has been dependent on this world, let this be the time right now to let go of that. Hold on to what God has told you since the beginning of time, since he told you when you received Jesus Christ, that I'm here for you. I'm here to take whatever you're going through right now. And I know probably in this place, in this room right now, I know there's certain individuals right now who have not let go to certain weeds in your life, certain things in your life that you need to let go. We need to let go and let God be more in our lives. That's the only way God's ever going to work with you fully, not halfway. God wants to work with you entirely. I want to ask the worship group if you can come up, please, right now. I want to do something different today. And the song we're going to sing right now talks about the glory of God as we fall. We give everything we have right now, every burden, our crowns, what may be, not be. If you have something right now that's holding you back, I want to open this altar right now. I want this place to resound right now. I want everybody to let go of whatever's been holding you back. Take up your cross and follow him. That's the best decision you can do. As we come up here right now, I want everybody to open up their hearts. Start singing to God. Start opening up your arms. Let him know how much you love him. Come up. He wants to hear you. We can go on forever saying and repeating the same things, but the only way God's going to work with you is if you come up to this altar today. Give out. Pour out. Let your cup overflow. The only way it's ever going to flow that you have to let go whatever you're going through. That's the only way he's going to pour back into your life. So feel free right now as we usher into this worship and we continue to worship with him.
If you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.